Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yod Dalad Amud Bet. About to take a look at the sixth Mishnah in the first Perek. And this is a Mishnah which really is a piece of the entire fourth Perek in Psachim about Makom Shenahagu, Minhagim, that are validated, which differ from place to place, and the Mishnayot there identify the validity of each minhag, meaning minhagim that are opposite of each other. Minhag to do malacha and erev Pesach in the morning, malacha, minhag not to do malacha then, minhag not to do malacha in Tisha B'Av, or yes to do malacha in Tisha B'Av. In the same way, makom shenagu limkor behemad dakal ovdei kochavim mochrin. In those places where we sell behemad daka, which loosely would be the flock, to pagans, that's a valid minhag. Makom shenagu shelo limkor ein mochrin. Places where the minhag is not to sell it, we don't sell it. That's a valid minhag too. Uvechol makom ein mochrin lahem behemad gasa. But nowhere is behemad gasa, meaning like oxen, sold. We'll see why. It's an interesting reason. Agalim usiachim, calves and young donkeys. Shlemin ushvurin, meaning even young calves, even young donkey foals, whether they are in good shape or shvurin, they have broken legs or broken limbs. Rabbi Yehuda matir bishvura, and we'll see why this is a critical piece. Rabbi Yehuda says you could sell a broken animal, an animal with a broken limb. Ben betera matir basus, and this is something we saw earlier in the context of the Nachum Hamadi contributions. Ben betera allows you to sell a horse. Now let's see what this is all about. Starting with this, Lameimra de Isura Leika Minhagahu Deika. So it's clear from the opening line of the Mishnah that there is no prohibition to sell a lamb, let's say, to a pagan. There's a minig. Hecha denoik Isur Nohug. Hecha denoik Hepta Nohug. So in other words, if the minig is Isur or Hepta, whatever it is, that's a valid minig. For Amini, we have the following challenge. You're not allowed to stand an animal in the inn of pagans, because your animal that you're putting there, and they are suspected of bestiality. And the problem is bestiality is prohibited to Bnei Noach, and you then are enabling it. So how do we solve this? How could it not be just a blanket isur? Amarav makom shitiru limkor itiru liyached. He said, in those places where you're allowed to sell the animal, those are also places where you're allowed to have them be alone with the animal, meaning that those are places where they don't behave that way. Those places where they did not allow them to be alone with them, they didn't allow them to sell it, meaning that that's what the minig is. The minig was not based on some arbitrary thing. It was based on the local practices of the pagans. Even in those places where you're not allowed to stand your animal up, in the pundak, you're still allowed to sell if that's the minig. Maitama oved kochavim chasal behemto. He's concerned about his own animal. Shelo teaker. Evidently, they believed that if they had relations with a person, it might hurt their uterus, and they wouldn't be able to have offspring, and therefore he won't have relations with his own animal. And therefore, you could sell it to him, but you still can't leave the animal out because in some of those places they're suspected of having bestiality with other people's animals. V'af rav hadarbe. The Amar of Tachlif from Rav Shila Baravimi Mishmei de Rav. Rav himself evidently accepted Rav Elazar's opinion that the two don't correlate, because Rav taught Oved Kochavim Chas Al Behem Toshelo Teaker. He holds that exact reason that he's concerned that his own animals should not become sterile. Okay, now V'chomakom Einuachin Behem Agasa. We don't sell a Behem Agasa. That's an Isur. My Tama, what's the reason? Nehi de Levi Alochashin, and we're not concerned about bestiality with a Behem Agasa. Ma'avid be malacha chashina. We're concerned that he's going to use it to do malacha on Shabbat. V'navid, let him do malacha on Shabbat. V'navid, kevan dezav nakanye. Once you sold it, it's his. So what's the concern? The answer is gzera mishum she'ela mishum schirut. It's a precaution against a case where you would lend it to him or rent it to him. If you can sell it to him, you might think, oh, I can sell it, I can rent it, I can lend it. And then when you rent it or lend it to him and he does use it on Shabbat, it's your animal that's working on Shabbat. Wait a second, Sheila Kanya Vagra Kanya. That's not true. When you lend something out or when you rent something out, the borrower or the renter is the owner. So what's the concern? Meaning, what's the problem with selling it? It's protection against renting it, but when you rent it out, it's also not yours. It's a gzera because of demonstrations. What does that mean? It seems like a very relatively minuscule concern, but you might sell the animal just before sunset on Friday. And then he'll say to you, let's see how smart this animal is before you sell it. So you're going to say something. And you show how smart the animal is by having the animal walk in your direction or run or something because of your voice. And you're happy with that. And that is a particular malacha called mechamer, kind of leading a donkey. Even though you don't have a stick, you're just doing it with your voice, it's called mechamer. Chamer chabem tov b'shabbat chayav chatat. Which means that this gzera is not because of something the goy is going to do, it's the gzera is because of something you're going to do if the sale is taking place just before Shabbat, and then after Shabbat starts, he wants you to show him how good of an animal it is, so you're going to use his voice to lead it. Wait a second, your entire argument earlier was that schirut can't be the reason because when you rent something, it becomes the property of the renter. But that's not true. Vatnan, af makom shamru laskir, even those places where you're allowed to rent land to pagans, like in Syria, lo levet diramru, that is not for a residence, but land perhaps, because when you rent a house to him, he's going to bring avodah zara in. Visalka daitach schirut kanya, if you think that when somebody rents, they become the owner, he's bringing avodah zara into his own house, not your business. So that it seems to indicate that schirut does not make the renter the owner. The answer is, shani avodat kochavim dechamir, avodah zara is more severe. You can't bring any of avodah zara into your house. And therefore, you have an extra concern here, which, even though normally when somebody rents something from you, they become a full owner, and therefore, if it's an animal, then it's not considered your animal that's doing the malacha on Shabbat because he's renting it from you. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, there's a blanket distancing that goes on. Now, Matkev Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Shoshayu Schirut Mikanya, since when does the fellow own what he rents? And now we're going to prove from a non-Avodah Zarah proof. Vatnan Yisrael Shachar Parami Kohen, if Yisrael, this is Bamatziah for Yisrael, rents a cow from a Kohen, Yachilana Kashine Trumah, he can feed this Yisrael can feed the cow that he rented from a Kohen, he could feed it truma grain. Yisrael, but the inverse of a Kohen rented from Yisrael, even though he's responsible to feed the animal, he can't feed a truma, even though he's a Kohen. If you think that the renter becomes the owner while he's renting, let the Kohen feed it to him. The Paradidate sets his animal, it must be that when you rent something, you're not the owner. And by the way, parenthetically, when you borrow something, you're also not the owner. And the best proof of that is that the one time that a borrower, a shoel, is exempt from any liability is ba'alav imo, if the owner is with him. And clear, that means that the original owner is still called ba'alav. So now let's back it up. Now that we've agreed that when you rent something, you're not the owner, so therefore, we go back to our original reasoning, which is that I cannot sell a behemah gasa to a goy because I may end up renting or lending it to him. And when I do so, he doesn't own it, and my animal's working on Shabbat. So therefore, gzera mishum schirut, ugzera mishum sheila, and gzera mishum nisyoni, meaning the reason for this is now pretty strong. A concern against renting, it's again a concern against lending, and it's also a concern with that last-minute demonstration that we played with. Now, here's some exceptions to the rule. Avada shara lezavune chamra aide or ide safsira. Meaning, Avada allowed selling a donkey, for instance, or selling an animal. There's two gersot, whether chamra is in there or not, via a middleman. Meaning, a broker. Why? Imishum nisyoni, because let's look at all the considerations. If you're concerned with that last-minute demonstration, halo yada lekole daz lemachmate. The animal doesn't recognize the broker's voice that he's going to walk. And if it's because we're concerned that the broker might lend or rent, Kevin de lo didehi lo Moshe v'lo Ogur. It's not his to rent or to lend or to rent out. V'yod, by that, it'll also hurt him. Mishum de lo nigli be'muma. If he is about to sell an animal, and he says, oh, you know what, I can't, my buyer's not coming for a couple days, in the meantime, I will rent it out, the renter may find a moon, may blow the whole deal for him. So the middleman certainly doesn't want to do that. So there's no concern, therefore he allowed it. Rav Huna zavin ha'u para al oved kochavim. Rav Huna sold a cow to an oved kochavim. Amar Rav Chista, my tam of Rahachi, how could you do that? After all, the Mishnah says, behemagasa. Amar lei, emur l'shchita zavna. Because maybe he bought it for, it's reasonable that he bought it for shchita, and there's no problem with malacha. So Munatimer Damrinaki Agavna, so Rav Chista comes back and says, since when do we use that kind of reasoning? That when an activity is prohibited because of its later use, but there's another possible later use, it's mutter. And the answer is that we do none, but Shammai Omrim, Lemkor Adam Para, Hachoreshet, Bashvi'it. A person should not sell a plow cow, a cow that's used for plowing during Shemitah. and the reason is because, of course, the person that buys it from you is going to use it during Shemitah. Ve'tilel matirin, ve'tilel say it's okay. Mipnei she'achol l'shochtat, could be the guy, after he buys it, is going to shecht it. All right, so therefore the same idea. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, that's not a good argument. Mi dam. Hatam ein adam mitzuva al shvitat be'amto ba'shvi'it. Person is not commanded to keep his animal from working on Shemitah. So therefore, if this guy who buys it from him works his animal, that's not the problem. The problem is the field. But a person is commanded to keep his animal from working on Shabbat. Good. Amar le Abayah. So Abayah turns to Rabbah and says, so every time that you have a command to keep your property from being used, you're not allowed to sell it to somebody because they might use it for that? Think about this. You've got a field. You're not allowed to let your field be worked on Shvi'it. You can't sell a fallow field on Shemitah. Why? A person could let it lie fallow for a year. In other words, even though you're commanded regarding that, you still could say, since there's another reasonable or plausible use he's going to have, and it's permissible, therefore it's okay. Rashi challenges, now flip it. And every time that you're not commanded to make sure that this thing isn't used, you're allowed to sell it to somebody who's not going to use it properly? For a kilim, think about this, vessels and tools. You're not commanded to make sure your tools aren't used on Shemitah. And yet, the Mishnah in Shvi'it says, there's certain vessels, you're not allowed to sell them in Shemitah. Hamachrisha, the plow, v'chol kelah, all things that come along with it, ha'ol, v'hamizre, v'hadakar, all of these plowing tools can't be sold. So we have a conundrum here, because you're not allowed to let your field get worked, and yet Beit Hillel says you could sell your field on Shemitah, and you're not commanded to be concerned with what happens to your vessels, then you're not allowed to sell your vessel, those tools on Shemitah. So what's the solution? Alam Rav Asher, Rashi has the following. Any time that there's a plausible, permissible use, we assume that that's what's happening. Even if you're bound to make sure your animal or tools don't do the wrong thing or field, say, you know what? He could let the field lie fallow. Or in our case, he could shech the animal. That's reasonable. But any time that there's no plausible alternative activity, which is permissible, lo talinan, then we don't say that that's what's happening. Even if you're not mitzuvah. Okay. Rabba Zavin Hahu Chamra Li Israel Hachoshulim Kor Loved Kochavim. Rabba sold a donkey to a Yisrael who himself was suspected of selling animals to pagans. Amar Abaye, my Tam of Marachi. So Abaye said, Rebbe, why'd you do that? Amar Le, Ani Yisrael Zavini, I sold it to Yisrael. Amar Le, Vaha Azul Mazvin Le Loved Kochavim. But he's going to go sell it to a pagan. So Loved Kochavim Kamazvin, the Yisrael or Kamazvin. What, he's only going to sell it to a pagan? He won't sell it to a Jew? I don't know who he's going to sell it to. So watch the challenge that Abaye brought. Etevei, this is a little bit long. Makom shnagulim kor beimata kalikutim, in those places where there's a minig to sell flock to the kutim mochrin. That's a valid minig. But of course, you know, shalolim kor ein mochrin. If the minig not to sell, that's also a valid minig. right? My tama, what's the reason? Ilay mishum nechshidi aravia, if it's because the kutim are suspected of violating bestiality, umichashidi, but they're not suspected. Vatanya ein mamid mehemapunta ka'uchalov de kochavim. We already had the brayta that said you can't have animals, leave them at the pagan inns. Zacharim, etzel zacharim, you can't leave male animals with male people. Unekevot, etzel nekevot, or female with female, because the concern is they're going to bring that in the case of female, female, her and some other guy is going to be there. Vein tzarich lomar nekevot, etzel zacharim, zacharim, etzel nekevot, certainly not the opposite gender. Vein mosrim ne'mal ro eshelahen, you can't give an animal to their shepherds. Vein miachdini mahen, you can't be alone with them. You can't be alone with them because they're suspected of murder. You also can't hand your child over to them as a teacher. Same concern. None of this is true about the Kutim. Remember, the Kutim in the times of the Brit and the Mishnah were thought to be quasi-Jews. So you could leave even cross-gender, certainly the same gender, animals with the person. You can give animals to their shepherds. You could also be alone with them. That's the critical piece. They're not suspected of murder. They could also be teachers privately with the kids. Alma lo chashidi, what do you see? You see that they are not suspected of revia, because you could have the animals with them. And the od tanya, watch this. Ein mochrin lam lo zayan velo klei zayan. You're not allowed to sell arms or weapons. Ve'ein mashchizin lam et hazayan. You're not allowed to sharpen their weapons. You can't sell chains of different sorts, or stirrups, velo kvalim, velo shalshalot shabarzel, or chains. That's true about Oved Kochav Mian Kutim. Now, why can't you sell weapons to them? My time, because they're suspected of murder, they're not. And you just said you're allowed to be alone with them, so they're not suspected of murder. So why would the law be that we don't distinguish between Oved Kochav Mian Kutim when it comes to weapons? It's because the Kutim typically will unsell them to the Oved Kochavim. They don't have our rules, the Kutim. And so therefore you see that you're not allowed to sell something to someone who is suspected of then selling it to the pagans. So maybe, Rabbi, you want to make the distinction that the Kuti will never do tshuva, but Yisrael avid tshuva, maybe this Yisrael will do tshuva and won't sell to the Oved Kochavim. And this, by the way, is a slam dunk. Could have ignored the entire Kuti piece. He said, just like you're not allowed to sell these animals to an Oved Kochavim, you also can't sell them to Yisrael suspected of selling to an Oved Kochavim. You got to be worried that it doesn't get to his hands. So what happened? Rabba got the point right. Batrash Tata Parsi. Rabba ran after the Yisrael who he sold it to for 3 parsaot, vikadami parsa b'chala, or maybe 1 parsa of it in the sand, which is hard to run. He didn't catch up. Right, that's the story. Now when we come to weapons, just like you're not allowed to sell them pagans, you also can't sell them to Jewish thieves. What's the case? If this guy is violent and suspected of killing, it's a no-brainer. That's the same reason. You can't sell it to somebody who you have reason to believe is going to use it for a violent or dangerous purpose. If this guy is not suspected of really hurting people, am I low? Why can't you sell him weapons? The answer is Liolam de Lokotil. He's somebody who hasn't ever killed. The concern is that when he tries to escape, he may use a weapon just to get out of there. So therefore, you're not allowed to help him out with that. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mochrin Lahen Tresin. You're not allowed to sell shields to the Oved Kochavim. V'yashomrin Mochrin Lahen Tresin. Some people say you can't. So my time, what's the reason for the prohibition? If it's because it protects them, so they don't sell them wheat or barley either, don't sell them anything, because everything is used to protect them or to give them strength. Tamarav, EF sharp, Achinami said, you know what? If I could get away with that, I would do that too. I would not sell them anything. Ika da Amri, there's another answer. Tracy and under time, what's the reason that you can't sell a shield? When they run out of arms, they use the shield as a weapon. What's the Yeshomim? When they run out of weapons, they run. So the machloket here is about what do soldiers do when they run out of arms? Do they use their shields as a weapon or do they run? Halacha is like the Ishomrim, meaning that the determination is they typically will run, they won't use it as a weapon, and therefore you could sell shields. You can't sell them thick pieces, slabs of metal. My time is shum nachal sheminayu klei zayin, because they make weapons out of them, they forge weapons. So then you can't sell them a rake or any other tool. We haven't heard of prohibition like that, because they could forge it into a weapon. Ayein Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Gimel. Amrav Zvid, but Parzala Hindua, it's a very special kind of metal from India. It's expensive and it's used especially for weapons. Vayinan the Kamaz Amninan, but the reality is we here in Bavel do sell them weapons. Metal that could be used for weapons. Amrav Ashi, the Parsoi de Meganui Lavan. We sell them to the Parthians who protect us. These are not people who have animosity. They're our protection. They're our police force. Okay, back in the Mishnah, we have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda said you could sell a broken animal. What's his reason? So in the Braita we hear that the animal's not going to get better, which means that the owner is going to kill it. But the response to Rabbi Yehuda was, they use it for a stud. They'll use it to have a baby. Since it could be used to take the male seed and to gestate and have an offspring. Therefore, they'll keep it around until it gets better. Rabbi Yehuda's answer was, let's see it. Let's see it happen. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it will not engage in relations. It will not reproduce. Therefore, the automatic response is, if it's a broken animal, they get rid of it, which means you could sell it to them because they're not going to use it from a law. All right. Ben Batera Matir Basus. In the Mishnah, Ben Batera allowed selling a horse. Tanya, ben b'teira matir b'susim neshu osev ha-melacha she'en chayvin alei achatat. He has a very simple reason. He says the whole reason he can't sell b'ema gasa is because they're going to use it for melacha, and in the case that you would lend it or borrow or rent it, that's a problem. He says, a horse, what is it used for? It's used for riding. Riding is not a chiyuv chatat. Riding is a gzerad rabbanan. For Rebbe osev neshu neshu, Rebbe disagrees with ben b'teira and says there's two reasons to be osev. Achad mishum torat klei zayin, because it's a weapon. You're not allowed to sell weapons. V'achan mishum torat be'magasa. It really is be'magasa. Why? Beast about torat klei zayinik. I understand the weapon. Tekata b'schufe. He kills by trampling. El torat be'magasa ma'hi. What do you mean it's be'magasa for melacha? Yochanan, she has keen matchino b'rechaim b'shabbat. When this animal gets old, what do? They don't let it die. They use it to turn the mill on Shabbat. And it's milling. It's doing melacha. So therefore, it's a problem. Nonetheless, the halacha is like Ben Batera, and they're allowed to sell a horse. What about a fattened up cow? Can you sell it? Is it going to be used for malacha or not? You could ask this according to Rabbi Yehuda, meaning maybe Rabbi Yehuda, who is lenient here, would not be lenient. Or you could ask it according to Rabbanan, and maybe they who are strict here would be lenient. By Rabbi Yehuda, Adkan lo shor kashar Rabbi Yehuda, here Rabbi Yehuda was matir. A broken animal is never going to do malacha, therefore you could sell it. But this animal, that if you hold on to it, the fattened animal, and you slim it down, it could do malacha, asur. Maybe the Rabbanan only asked it in the case of a broken animal because it's not going to be used for shechita. And therefore, they might hold on to it and let it get better and use it for malacha. Well, hi, this time of the shechita kai, but this animal that's a fattened up animal is slated for shechita. You're not going to let it work. It's a nice fat cow. Sharu. So which is it? Tashma, dam Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Shall Beit Rebbe ayum akrivin shor shal patam b'yom edam. Beit Rebbe, Rebbe's household, had to bring to the local governor a fattened up cow on the festival that they had. Chiser dalad rivvan. So first he bribed them 400 or more than that, a tremendous amount of money, bribed them to bring the animal the day after the festival. Then he said, bring it only after it's slaughtered, so it won't be used while alive. Then he paid another amount to say, just don't use it at all. So my timer, what's the reason he did that? So you see that a fattened up cow is a problem. Isn't it because he was afraid they would hold on to the animal? They'd bring it live on the day. And the problem wasn't the day. The problem was that he'd be getting this animal, and then he would use it for malacha. What's the advantage of having it be tomorrow? So you, this story doesn't seem to correlate with the issue. Al Rebbe Miyakar Milta Babai. Rebbe really didn't want to do any of this. He wanted to not have them get the animal at all. Savar Yeakar Va'ati Porta Porta. So I'll do it one step at a time. First is tomorrow, then Shachut, then not at all. V'chimashile Bari Vavin Malacha. Let's think about this. You have a fattened up cow. If they hold on to him and slim him down, will he really get better and do Malacha? And the answer is Asher Li Zvida. A particular man named Zvida, who's a cow fattener, told me, Bar Torah Mashinon Le Va'avid Achad Train. When you have such an animal, you wait and let him slim down. He could do twice as much as any other ox because he's got all that meat on him and develops into muscle, and he's a much stronger animal. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah. Mishnah Zion talks about selling dangerous animals to the pagans in the next podcast. But in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful